This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية جنتان عن يمين وشمال كلوا من رزق ربكم واشكروا له بلدة طيبة ورب غفور وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, once again the ummah finds itself in the midst of war. We have barely taken a sigh of relief from the Afghanistan invasion, when the Indian crisis and catastrophe faced and stared at the Ummah. And again we find ourselves in a similar situation where an invasion takes place on Iraq. Iraq, amongst other countries, is a very sensitive place and holds a great significant part in the annals of Islamic history, as I will explain. One of the quotes of the former presidents of the United States comes to mind. Those that are claiming to be the heroes of mankind and are fighting for democracy. I think it was Kennedy, if I'm not mistaken, he had said, mankind must end war, otherwise war will end mankind. Mankind must end war, otherwise war will end mankind. But be it as it may, some might say it's the oil, others might say it's the weapons of mass destruction. But gradually every Muslim is now beginning to realize it is this garden of Islam, the sight of which has become unbearable for the kafir. The Quran speaking about this year, Allah Ta'ala likens the situation of the Muslims to this garden. And Allah makes explicit mention in this ayah, كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَضُ. Allah says, like that sown seed, when you plant it, it's hidden, it's concealed. This was the beginning of Islam. Strange, uncommon, unfamiliar, not known to anyone. أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ. It sends forth its shoot. فَاسْتَغْلَضَ. Then it straightens, it hardens. فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوْقِ. And then it becomes long and strong, and the tree grows and it starts bearing fruit. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاءِ. Which is a striking sight, an appealing sight to the tiller, to the farmer. He looks at his garden, how green, how lush, how striking it is. Allah says this was the very beginning of Islam, that when it commenced, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around, strange, what is this Islam all about? And it strengthened, just as that seed came out weak, flimsy, but as the time came of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and it grew and it strengthened, it became like a beautiful, lushful garden of Islam. If we study how significant and how sentimental Iraq is in the annals of Islamic history, and what a great contribution Baghdad has. Baghdad was the capital of the Muslim empire for no less than 6 centuries. The Muslims were governed and controlled under one united body, the capital being Baghdad. We find after the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was faced with many challenges, primarily that of the renegades and the false prophets. People exploited the situation that this prophet has passed away. So a lot of silent prophets that were waiting to exploit the opportunity, they said, this is an opportunity, people are looking for a prophet, why not me call myself as a prophet? Different people started claiming prophethood and they developed the following. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a major task resting on his shoulders. Such a task that Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anhu says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِأَبِي مَا لَوْ نَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ لَهَا ظَهَا. Wallah, such a calamity and catastrophe rested on the shoulders of my father that even the mountains could not contain it. Had that calamity come on a mountain, it would have shattered in pieces. Nevertheless, after resolving the issue of the renegades and different groups was dispatched in different ways, after this encounter was over, then immediate plans were made that how Islam can now spread across the world. And amongst the first countries where plans and mashwara were made were with regards to Sham and Iraq. But as we know, the reigns of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's rule was very short, approximately 2 to 2.5 years. So much could not be accomplished and developed and arranged for. However, the planning of this was done already during his period. The real expansion of the Muslim empire beyond the borders of Arabia, extending to Sham, Syria, Iraq, happened in the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we know the great battle that took place amongst many other battles at the conquer of Iraq is the Battle of Qadisiyah. Beneath the soil of Iraq, beneath the soil of Baghdad, lay the graves and the personalities, the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahumullah, Basra. Basra is such a significant place that Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, the servant of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is resting beneath the soil of Basra. In fact, this morning's report, I believe they launched attacks on a place called Mosul, which happens to be north of Iraq. If you study the Ardul Quran, which will shape before you the place where the Anbiya alayhi wasalam was sent, then Mosul is that very land to which Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was sent. Allah Ta'ala makes mention about this in the Quran. وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And according to some reference, even Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was based in Iraq. With regards to Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, there's definite quotations that he was based in a place called Mosul, where today they had launched attacks. So we find, let's just go a little into the history. Then we'll speak about what is our obligation. When this is happening, should our focus be on the match that is to take place on Sunday? One side we express our solidarity. One side we claim to say we are with them, we support them, we feel their pain, we feel their agony. But do we feel it to no more than just verbal commitments? Do we express it to no more than everything about comfort and leisure without it infringing in our process? Does it mean that when we are part of their solidarity, does life here for a Muslim continue normal? Or would there be some moral obligations and demands upon us that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدُّهِمْ وَتَعَتُفِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ. The likening of the Muslim Ummah, the similitude of the Muslim Ummah, the parable of the Muslim Ummah is like one entire body. And then Nabi alayhi salam gives the beautiful example, إِنِشْتَكَ عَيْنُهُ إِشْتَكَ كُلُّهُ. If perhaps a man has an ailing eye, or he has injured his hand, or he has a splitting headache, then it's just not that particular organ of the body that experiences and encounters difficulty, but rather pain, agony, restlessness, frustration by every limb, every organ of the body. This will explain to us how sincere we are in our obligation, and how close we are to them, and what is our attachment with them, be it Muslims in Iraq, be it Muslims in Palestine. Unfortunately, at the passing of time, we become immune to this, and our only contribution or commitment is to follow the news, what is happening, what's the developments. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is like one human body, one organ paining, the entire body experiencing the pain. Brothers, if there is a janazah in our house, then naturally at that time there is no pleasure in food, there is no pleasure in drink, a man cannot sleep. Let us ask ourselves, how much are we enjoying, or how much are we sharing the plight of the Muslims? What is happening to the Muslim that is, you know, the ordinary Iraqi, the ordinary Muslim that is free from any forms of wrong, free from any weapons of mass destruction, that is living there as an ordinary civilian? Of course, now his destruction will be collateral destruction, and it will not be civilian targets. That's the change of terminology that happens from the beginning of time. We find there are so many ahadith that exhort us and exert us. When Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was made the governor of Egypt, and then he was made the ruler of Egypt, and we know the king had seen a vision where 7 years there will be prosperity and 7 years there will be drought. When the 7 years of drought commence, then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam passed a decree in the palace to the entire royal family that as long as there will be drought in the land of Egypt, you and I will only eat one meal a day. So we equally share the agony of the general masses. Thus was once upon a time the spirit of brotherhood where a Muslim, let us ask ourselves, I am not even saying, my brother, give up your meal. I'm asking you, are you ready to give up that match? Are you ready to give up that ticket and take that money and fund it to some charitable organization that perhaps might mean a shelter for a child that will be thrown out of his house? Many a times the question arises, is it a jihad against the West? Or is it a jihad against America? Or is it a jihad against the enemies of Islam? Allah Rabbul Izzat in Surah Mumtahina makes mention of this very beautifully. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وأخرجوكم من دياركم وظاهروا على إخراجكم أن تولوهم. Verily Allah does not forbid you from befriending those disbelievers who do not drive you out of your land, who do not argue with you in the matters of deen, that you be kind to them, that you be just to them, that you be loyal to them. Allah loves those that maintain equity. However, the next verse Allah says, and Allah describes the condition of these very same people today. إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, I openly, clearly, explicitly, emphatically, يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينَ. I prohibit you, I prevent you from befriending those people who drive you out of your land and join forces with allies to drive you out. وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَن تَوَلَّوْهُمْ. That you befriend such people. وَمَن يَتَوَلَّهُمْ. Those who befriend such people, they are indeed evil in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. While the President of America has a message to the people of Iraq in his so-called obligation as the Chief Commander of the United States. Brothers have been following news, you'll know better what I'm speaking about. We also have a message to him, and not me, but rather the Quran has a message to him. The Quran's message to him and his allies are, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Let not the forces of kufr, let not the strength of batil feel that we are giving them, I quote the words of the Quran, that we are giving them abundance of health, wealth, prosperity and fame. Let them not be deceived that we are arming them divinely by these measures because we love them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ. We are making available to them technology, strength, might, power, authority. Why? لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. So that by the availability of these means, they can go deeper into sin and oppress more, so that we can intensify the torment that awaits them. We will not involve them in wrong. They, because of their own deviation and pride, will abuse and exploit the authorities and the availabilities that Allah has given them. This is what the Quran says, and this is our message to them. That Allah says, let it not be that you feel we have given you this. Let not that rat feel or that mouse feel we are kind enough to it, that is why we bought a block of cheese. No, we have bought that block of cheese to trap it. And we gave that bird a dry piece of bread because we want to keep that bird and we don't want to kill it. So the motive behind that block of cheese is not to waste my money, but rather to kill you. Allah says, go into it, but don't be in the deception that Allah has given you because He loves you. He is giving you, you will abuse it and exploit it, and a severe punishment awaits you. We come back to the focus of Qadsiyah. Once upon a time, what was the strength of the Muslim Ummah? In what lies the honor and the victory of the Ummah? Friends and elders, today it is a common cry on the tongue and the heart of every Muslim that the Muslims have been butchered, the Muslims have been oppressed, the Muslims have been killed. You take any country, anywhere you look, see what is the condition of the Muslims. One great scholar, Maulana Inamul Hasan Rahimahumullah, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, mentioned one day, and these words ring in my ears repeatedly. Every time another catastrophe comes on this ummah, I revive the words of this great man. May Allah fill his grave with nur. He says, today the Muslims are crying that the Muslims have been oppressed. Let it be known to the entire world, Allah will not pity your tears over the oppression of the Muslims until you don't start shedding tears over the oppression of Islam. And oh my brother, perhaps Muslims have been now oppressed in Iraq or Afghanistan. But let me tell you, Islam has been oppressed in your house. Not at the hands of the kafir or the lands of the kafir. Islam has been oppressed in the hands of the Muslims, in the lands of the Muslim, in the homes of the Muslims. Let us just analyze, what is the contribution of the so-called Middle East or the Muslim countries? How many have come forward to condemn? What has been the stance of the Muslim Ummah in a global level in condemning this attack against Iraq? Each man look into his heart and ask, well, what ummah, what unity, has that universal strength still remain in the ummah? Nevertheless, coming to this battle of Qadisiyah, which was fought in Iraq, against Rustam who was the general of the army. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sends the army. First he sends Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu. And then Hazrat Rabi ibn Amir, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. And as they make their presence in the court of this king, in the court of the general of Persia, who was the general of the Persian army, Rustum, and he's sitting in his court, with throne around him, and the crown above him, and his courtiers on his right, and thousands of ministers on his left, and this carpet, the crown is studded with rubies and pearls and diamonds. Sayyidina Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu walks in. And he walks mounted on his horse or his donkey and with his sword in his hand. And someone says, there's some poor beggar at the door. Who is he? So Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu comes forward. Who has invited you to come to our court in this way? I have not come on my own, but rather I have been sent by Allah. Inna Allah ibta'athana linukhrija al-ibada min ibadati al-ibad. Allah has sent me exclusively to take you out, to take man out of the slavery of man and put them in the slavery of Allah, and to take them out of the narrow confines. Once upon a time, this was the stability of the ummah. Friends and elders, Allah is showing us one, two signs. Every time something goes wrong in the British or the American army, it's a technical fault. Whatever goes wrong, it's technical. Till before this, we never heard of technicalities. But last night also, three helicopters, the crew got off very calmly, very easily. And the one where they had to confirm, the Pentagon had to confirm the death of 16 people, a technical fault. The space shuttle also is technical. We know the system of Allah Ta'ala. This wind that is blowing also. What happened on the occasion of Khandaq? When the kuffar came, it was the wind that obscured their view. They couldn't see anything. Let them call it technical. Let them call it misunderstanding. Let them call it whatever it is. This is but one, two signs of Allah Ta'ala showing us His proof and His strength. Let us not forget. Let us not become obsessed by their technology. Our strength lies with Allah. If you have to analyze what is their strength, in this battle of Qadsiyah that was fought also in Iraq, Iraq is rich with Islamic wars. Iraq is rich with Islamic history. The Muslims were 7,000 in number, and the Kuffar were 30,000 in number. Never did this ummah fight on the grounds of strength. Never did this ummah come in the battle on the strength of their weapons. In fact, when their gaze shifted from Allah to their figures, immediately Allah converted an apparent victory into failure. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. And remember the day of Hunayn, when you were impressed by your figures, when you were obsessed by your numbers. فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. But it did not avail you in any way. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And the land narrowed upon you despite its vastness. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. You deserted the Nabi of Allah and you ran. A quotation of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah. He used to say, for us, Allahu Akbar, exile is tourism. For us, exile is tourism. Jail is time for introspection, for contemplation, for reflection, and death is martyrdom. What a wonderful quotation. The quotation of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah. For us, exile is tourism. Jail is time for introspection, for contemplation, for reflection, and death is nothing less than martyrdom. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. So whenever the ummah's gaze went away from Allah, this is what happened to them. The Muslims were 7,000 in number, the kuffar were 30,000. Hazrat Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu makes his appearance, and then he addresses the king and the courtiers, and he says, we have been sent by Allah, and Allah has taken pity upon us. And then he poses the question to Rabi. He says, are you the leader of the Muslims? He says, let me tell you, in the Muslims there's no leader and no subject. We are one body, nobody fighting for position. But if anybody is hurt, it sends a wave of restlessness across the Muslim empire. Once upon a time, that was the spirit of this ummah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is not a Muslim if he eats till he is saturated, while his brother is hungry, his neighbor next door is hungry. Let us ask ourselves, what will be the demand? What will Allah want from us at this critical juncture? If we look this way, it's problems on the ummah. If we look that way, it's orphans. If we look that way, it is widows. Would it justify you and I sitting at a stadium, watching some people playing a game of material pursuit and involving our time, our energy, our abilities? Then ask ourselves, what are our slogans? What are our contributions? What is our solidarity when this is our condition? The hadith I quoted in the beginning, I terminate my talk with this hadith. When Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-deen wa an-nasiha." Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was asked, what is deen in a nutshell? So he says, deen in a nutshell is desiring good. What is deen in a nutshell? Someone asked you, in one word, tell me Islam. Tell him, in one word, in the words of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Islam means desiring good. The next question of that Sahabi was, Liman, to whom, O Nabi of Allah? قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعمتهم. Desiring good for Allah, desiring good for His Nabi, desiring good for the Muslim leaders, and desiring good for the general masses. The hadith is detailed. What it means by desiring good for Allah, briefly, to obey Allah, desiring good for Allah's Quran, to bring iman on the Quran, desiring good for Nabi alayhi salam, to emulate the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, desiring good for the Muslim leaders, to make dua that Allah guides them, Allah inspires them. Say ameen, brothers. Wallah, the world is thirsty for such rulers, the likes of Umar. May Allah once again revive the likes of Umar that can come forward. Look at how many people have gone as human shields. Analyze the marches, the anti-war marches, and see how many marches taking place in Muslim countries, how many taking place in non-Muslim countries. The world is desperate for some Muslim ruler. But as you and I draw closer and rapidly towards Qiyamah, we know that that man who the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam prophesizes is rapidly, the time is coming close. Brothers, after 9/11, things have been falling into perspective very quickly. Things are happening one after the other. Whatever it is, as Muslims, we know in a disguised way, inevitably good is going to come out of this year. We got to be optimistic about this. We got to be positive about this. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah says it is good for you. Just on one note, after the Afghan invasion, many lives were lost, and our hearts bleed for those who have died, while we know they enjoy the rank of martyrdom. But here in our country itself, it strengthened a bond between the Muslims. I can count hundreds of youngsters who I know have changed their life after they've seen what happened in Afghanistan. I know of youth who never came to the masjid, came crying before me. Malana, if this is happening to our brothers, what is my contribution? So on a global level, Tawbah took place. The Ummah turned their focus to Allah. And if that alone happens, then great has been achieved. Great objectives have come out of this whole thing. So as Muslims, we analyze it. Whatever has happened, it will strengthen us. The Quran says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. It is the collective, combined endeavors of the forces of kufr to extinguish the light of Islam. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. But in the same breath, it is the pledge of Allah, it's the promise of Allah, it's the commitment of Allah to perfect His deen. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the disbelievers dislike it, we make dua to the Almighty Allah. He gives steadfastness to our brothers in Iraq. May Allah make it easy for them. May Allah aid them. May Allah send those birds that came down. Brothers, when this ummah will obey Allah, it was Sahaba were throwing sand also. Just as our brothers in Palestine are throwing. What did the Quran say? When Nabi alayhi salam lifted sand, and he threw that sand, and he said, Shahatil wujuh, may this kuffar be disgraced, and may they disperse from here. The Quran said, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. O Nabi of Allah, it wasn't your hand, or rather it was your hand, but aided by Allah. So you were lifting the sand, but the strength was coming from Allah. Let that day come where the ummah lifts his hands and we see the strength of Allah. Let us not forget who Allah is. Our strength lies in Allah. Brothers, never mind the technology. Let's just rewind a bit back and look at the strength of Aad. What strength Allah had given Qawm Aad? They have nothing. The Quran says, وَمَا بَلَغُوا مِعْشَارَ مَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ. The kuffar of Makkah were boasting on what they had. Allah says, you don't own 1/10 of what the kuffar before you own. So they say regarding Qawm Aad, the children used to mature at the age of 200. The lifespan was well over 1,000. The sizes were like tall palm trees. Allah says when He destroyed them, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَ. They were lying like date palm trees. So this is the strength of Allah when He came. سَخَرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَانِ. They are talking of one wind. Allah sent such a wind. 7 days, 8 nights. Husuma, Allah says that was the end of that nation. Allah says we destroyed them. And wallah, the decline of this country has started. It started. May Allah let us witness its destruction, just as today we see in the pride and the arrogance. Say ameen, brothers. Wallah, the Quran says, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. We destroyed them in such a way as though a nation of this name never existed. Brothers, in conclusion, what is our message? As I said, one is our moral obligation. It's time we give up our entertainment. It's time we give up our luxury. We can't carry on with life normally if there's a janaza lying in our house, when this is the plight of what is happening. My minimum appeal is, let us give up entertainment. Let us give up pursuing our lusts. Let us give in, watching all other things. Let us focus on objective things at this time. I end with the ayat that I recited in the beginning, and let us be grateful to the favors of Allah upon us. Wallah, brothers, at this time, if we analyze the global situation in the world, Allah has been very kind to us in this country. We enjoy great virtues. We enjoy great advantages. In fact, you and I at many times have more liberty in obeying Allah than many Muslims in Muslim countries and different parts of the world. The ayat al-Karimah that I recited, I likened it to a situation of the nation of Sabah. Allah speaks about this nation. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ. Allah says, indeed, there were great signs of the mercy of Allah on the nation of Sabah when you looked at their dwellings. Their dwellings were palaces. Brothers, each man look at his own house and reflect how kind Allah has been. جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينٍ وَشِمَالٍ. There were gardens on the right, there were gardens on the left. Whenever they traveled, there was so much fruit. The Mufassirin write, if a man put a basket on his head, he would hardly take 10 steps and there was beautiful fruit. There was no insects, there was no theft, there was no harm, there was no fear. This is how they loved. Allah said, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ. A splendid city and a forgiving Allah. A splendid city. Look at our situation, brothers. Allah has been so kind. But despite that, they violated the commandments of Allah. They disobeyed Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala sent His azab. So let us appreciate and capitalize the kindness of Allah upon us. Allah has made it so easy. May Allah Ta'ala reward our government and give them hidayat also. They have really been a government that has made things easier for us as far as Islam is concerned. They have never made things difficult for us. May Allah Ta'ala give them more hidayat and guide them. And may Allah give us the ability to value, appreciate, and present the beauty of Islam to them, so that inshallah at this age, when generally the focus is on tarnishing the reputation of the Muslims and blemishing the character of the Muslims and soiling the names of the Ummah, you and I can prove them wrong by means of displaying the desired akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy and once again restore the honor, the victory and the dignity of the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لسبأ في مسكنهم آية جنتان عن يمين وشمال كلوا من رزق ربكم واشكروا له بلدة طيبة ورب غفور وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة قلنا لمن قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected brothers and elders, once again the Ummah finds itself in the midst of war. We have barely taken a sigh of relief from the Afghanistan invasion when the Indian crisis and catastrophe faced and stared at the Ummah. And again we find ourselves in a similar situation where an invasion takes place on Iraq. Iraq, amongst other countries, is a very sensitive place and holds a great significant part in the annals of Islamic history, as I will explain. One of the quotes of the former presidents of the United States comes to mind. Those that are claiming to be the heroes of mankind and are fighting for democracy. I think it was Kennedy, if I'm not mistaken, he had said, mankind must end war, otherwise war will end mankind. Mankind must end war, otherwise war will end mankind. But be it as it may, some might say it's the oil, others might say it's the weapons of mass destruction. But gradually every Muslim is now beginning to realize it is this garden of Islam, the sight of which has become unbearable for the kafir. The Quran speaking about this year, Allah Ta'ala likens the situation of the Muslims to this garden. And Allah makes explicit mention in this ayah. كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَقْ. Allah says, like that sown seed, when you plant it, it's hidden, it's concealed. This was the beginning of Islam. Strange, uncommon, unfamiliar, not known to anyone. أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ. It sends forth its shoot. فَاسْتَغْلَظَ. Then it straightens, it hardens. فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِ. And then it becomes long and strong, and the tree grows and it starts bearing fruit. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ, which is a striking sight and appealing sight to the tiller, to the farmer. He looks at his garden, how green, how lush, how striking it is. Allah says this was the very beginning of Islam, that when it commenced, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around, strange, what is this Islam all about? And it strengthened, just as that seed came out weak, flimsy, but as the time came of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and it grew and it strengthened, it became like a beautiful, lushful garden of Islam. If we study how significant and how sentimental Iraq is in the annals of Islamic history, and what a great contribution Baghdad has. Baghdad was the capital of the Muslim empire for no less than 6 centuries. The Muslims were governed and controlled under one united body, the capital being Baghdad. We find after the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was faced with many challenges, primarily that of the renegades and the false prophets. People exploited the situation that this prophet has passed away. So a lot of silent prophets that were waiting to exploit the opportunity, they said, this is an opportunity, people are looking for a prophet, why not me call myself as a prophet? Different people started claiming prophethood and they developed a following. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a major task resting on his shoulders. Such a task that Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anhu says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِأَبِي مَا لَوْ نَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ لَهَا ظَهَا. Wallah, such a calamity and catastrophe rested on the shoulders of my father that even the mountains could not contain it. Had that calamity come on a mountain, it would have shattered in pieces. Nevertheless, after resolving the issue of the renegades and different groups was dispatched in different ways, after this encounter was over, then immediate plans were made that how Islam can now spread across the world. And amongst the first countries where plans and mashwara were made were with regards to Sham and Iraq. But as we know, the reigns of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's rule was very short, approximately 2 to 2.5 years. So much could not be accomplished and developed and arranged for. However, the planning of this was done already during his period. The real expansion of the Muslim empire beyond the borders of Arabia, extending to Sham, Syria, Iraq, happened in the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we know the great battle, the great battle that took place amongst many other battles at the conquer of Iraq is the Battle of Qadisiyah. Beneath the soil of Iraq, beneath the soil of Baghdad, lay the graves and the personalities, the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahumullah, Basra. Basra is such a significant place that Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, the servant of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is resting beneath the soil of Basra. In fact, this morning's report, I believe they launched attacks on a place called Mosul, which happens to be north of Iraq. If you study the Ardul Quran, which will shape before you the place where the Anbiya alayhimus salam was sent, then Mosul is that very land to which Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu was sent. Allah Ta'ala makes mention about this in the Quran, وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. And according to some reference, even Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam was based in Iraq. With regards to Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, there's definite quotations that he was based in a place called Mosul, where today they had launched attacks. So we find, let's just go a little into the history. Then we'll speak about what is our obligation. When this is happening, should our focus be on the match that is to take place on Sunday? One side we express our solidarity. One side we claim to say we are with them, we support them, we feel their pain, we feel their agony. But do we feel it to no more than just verbal commitments? Do we express it to no more than everything about comfort and leisure without it infringing in our process? Does it mean that when we are part of their solidarity, does life here for a Muslim continue normal? Or would there be some moral obligations and demands upon us? That Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَدُّهِمْ وَتَعَتُفِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ. The likening of the Muslim Ummah, the similitude of the Muslim Ummah, the parable of the Muslim Ummah is like one entire body. And then Nabi alayhi sallam gives the beautiful example, إِنِشْتَكَ عَيْنُهُ إِشْتَكَ كُلُّهُ. If perhaps a man has an ailing eye, or he has injured his hand, or he has a splitting headache, then it's just not that particular organ of the body that experiences and encounters difficulty, but rather pain, agony, restlessness, frustration by every limb, every organ of the body. This will explain to us how sincere we are in our obligation and how close we are to them and what is our attachment with them, be it Muslims in Iraq, be it Muslims in Palestine. Unfortunately, at the passing of time, we become immune to this. And our only contribution or commitment is to follow the news, what is happening, what's the developments. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is like one human body, one organ paining, the entire body experiencing the pain. Brothers, if there is a janazah in our house, then naturally at that time, there is no pleasure in food. There is no pleasure in drink. A man cannot sleep. Let us ask ourselves, how much are we enjoying? Or how much are we sharing the plight of the Muslims? What is happening to the Muslim that is, you know, the ordinary Iraqi, the ordinary Muslim that is free from any forms of wrong, free from any weapons of mass destruction, that is living there as an ordinary civilian. Of course, now his destruction will be collateral destruction, and it will not be civilian targets. That's the change of terminology that happens from the beginning of time. We find there are so many ahadith that exhort us and exert us. When Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was made the governor of Egypt, and then he was made the ruler of Egypt, and we know the king had seen a vision where 7 years there will be prosperity and 7 years there will be drought. When the 7 years of drought commence, then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam passed a decree in the palace to the entire royal family that as long as there will be drought in the land of Egypt, you and I will only eat one meal a day. So we equally share the agony of the general masses. Thus was once upon a time the spirit of brotherhood where a Muslim, let us ask ourselves, I am not even saying, my brother, give up your meal. I'm asking you, are you ready to give up that match? Are you ready to give up that ticket and take that money and fund it to some charitable organization that perhaps might mean a shelter for a child that will be thrown out of his house? Many a times the question arises, is it a jihad against the West? Or is it a jihad against America? Or is it a jihad against the enemies of Islam? Allah Rabbul Izzat in Surah Mumtahina makes mention of this very beautifully. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وأخرجوكم من دياركم وظاهروا على إخراجكم أن تولوهم. Verily Allah does not forbid you from befriending those disbelievers who do not drive you out of your land, who do not argue with you in the matters of deen, that you be kind to them, that you be just to them, that you be loyal to them. Allah loves those that maintain equity. However, the next verse Allah says, and Allah describes the condition of these very same people today. إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah says, I openly, clearly, explicitly, emphatically, يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينَ. I prohibit you, I prevent you from befriending those people who drive you out of your land and join forces with allies to drive you out. وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَن تَوَلَّوْهُمْ. That you befriend such people. وَمَن يَتَوَلَّهُمْ. Those who befriend such people, they are indeed evil in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. While the President of America has a message to the people of Iraq in his so-called obligation as the Chief Commander of the United States. Brothers have been following news, you'll know better what I'm speaking about. We also have a message to him, and not me, but rather the Quran has a message to him. The Quran's message to him and his allies are, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Let not the forces of kufr, let not the strength of batil feel that we are giving them, I quote the words of the Quran, that we are giving them abundance of health, wealth, prosperity and fame. Let them not be deceived that we are arming them divinely by these measures because we love them. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ. We are making available to them technology, strength, might, power, authority. Why? لِيَزْدَادُ إِثْمًا. So that by the availability of these means, they can go deeper into sin and oppress more, so that we can intensify the torment that awaits them. We will not involve them in wrong. They, because of their own deviation and pride, will abuse and exploit the authorities and the availabilities that Allah has given them. This is what the Quran says, and this is our message to them. That Allah says, let it not be that you feel we have given you this, Let not that rat feel or that mouse feel we are kind enough to it. That is why we bought a block of cheese. No, we have bought that block of cheese to trap it. And we gave that bird a dry piece of bread because we want to keep that bird and we don't want to kill it. So the motive behind that block of cheese is not to waste my money, but rather to kill you. Allah says, go into it, but don't be in the deception that Allah has given you because He loves you. He's given you, you will abuse it and exploit it, and a severe punishment awaits you. We come back to the focus of Qadsiyah. Once upon a time, what was the strength of the Muslim Ummah? In what lies the honor and the victory of the Ummah? Friends and elders, today it is a common cry on the tongue and the heart of every Muslim that the Muslims have been butchered, the Muslims have been oppressed, the Muslims have been killed. You take any country, anywhere you look, see what is the condition of the Muslims. One great scholar, Maulana Inamul Hassan Rahimahumullah, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, mentioned one day, and these words ring in my ears repeatedly, every time another catastrophe comes on this ummah, I revive the words of this great man, may Allah fill his grave with nur. He says, today the Muslims are crying that the Muslims have been oppressed. Let it be known to the entire world, Allah will not pity your tears over the oppression of the Muslims until you don't start shedding tears over the oppression of Islam. And oh my brother, perhaps Muslims have been now oppressed in Iraq or Afghanistan, but let me tell you, Islam has been oppressed in your house. Not at the hands of the kafir or the lands of the kafir. Islam has been oppressed in the hands of the Muslims, in the lands of the Muslim, in the homes of the Muslims. Let us just analyze, what is the contribution of the so-called Middle East or the Muslim countries? How many have come forward to condemn? What has been the stance of the Muslim Ummah in a global level in condemning this attack against Iraq? Each man look into his heart and ask, what Ummah, what unity, has that universal strength still remain in the Ummah? Nevertheless, coming to this battle of Qadisiyah, which was fought in Iraq against Rustam, who was the general of the army. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sends the army. First he sends Hazrat Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, and then Hazrat Ribi ibn Amir, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. And as they make their presence in the court of this king, in the court of the general of Persia, who was the general of the Persian army, Rustam, and he's sitting in his court, with throne around him and the crown above him and his courtiers on his right and thousands of ministers on his left, and this carpet, this the crown is studded with rubies and pearls and diamonds. Sayyidina Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu walks in, and he walks mounted on his horse or his donkey and with his sword in his hand, and someone says, there's some poor beggar at the door, who is he? So Ribi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu comes forward, who has invited you to come to our court in this way? I have not come on my own, but rather I have been sent by Allah. Inna Allaha ibta'athana linukhrija al-ibada min ibadati al-ibad. Allah has sent me exclusively to take you out, to take man out of the slavery of man and put them in the slavery of Allah, and to take them out of the narrow confines. Once upon a time, this was the stability of the ummah. Friends and elders, Allah is showing us one, two signs. Every time something goes wrong in the British or the American army, it's a technical fault. Whatever goes wrong, it's technical. Till before this, we never heard of technicalities. But last night also, three helicopters, two were, the crew got off very calmly, very easily. And the one where they had to confirm, the Pentagon had to confirm the death of 16 people, a technical fault. The space shuttle also is technical. We know the system of Allah Ta'ala. This wind that is blowing also. What happened on the occasion of Khandaq? When the kuffar came, it was the wind that obscured their view. They couldn't see anything. Let them call it technical. Let them call it misunderstanding. Let them call it whatever it is. This is but one, two signs of Allah Ta'ala showing us His proof and His strength. Let us not forget. Let us not become obsessed by their technology. Our strength lies with Allah. If you have to analyze what is their strength, in this battle of Qadsiyah that was fought also in Iraq, Iraq is rich with Islamic wars. Iraq is rich with Islamic history. The Muslims were 7,000 in number, and the Kuffar were 30,000 in number. Never did this ummah fight on the grounds of strength. Never did this ummah come in the battle on the strength of their weapons. In fact, when their gaze shifted from Allah to their figures, immediately Allah converted an apparent victory into failure. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. And remember the day of Hunayn, when you were impressed by your figures, when you were obsessed by your numbers. فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. But it did not avail you in any way. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And the land narrowed upon you despite its vastness. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. You deserted the Nabi of Allah and you ran. A quotation of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah. He used to say, for us, Allahu Akbar, exile is tourism. For us, exile is tourism. Jail is time for introspection, for contemplation, for reflection, and death is martyrdom. What a wonderful quotation. The quotation of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahumullah. For us, exile is tourism. Jail is time for introspection, for contemplation, for reflection, and death is nothing less than martyrdom. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. So whenever the Ummah's gaze went away from Allah, this is what happened to them. The Muslims were 7,000 in number. The Kuffar were 30,000. Hazrat Rabi ibn Amir radiallahu anhu makes his appearance. And then he addresses the king and the courtiers. And he says, we have been sent by Allah. And Allah has taken pity upon us. And then he poses the question to Rabi. He says, are you the leader of the Muslims? He says, let me tell you, in the Muslims there's no leader and no subject. We are one body, nobody fighting for position. But if anybody is hurt, it sends a wave of restlessness across the Muslim empire. Once upon a time, that was the spirit of this ummah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he is not a Muslim if he eats till he's saturated, while his brother is hungry, his neighbor next door is hungry. Let us ask ourselves, what will be the demand? What will Allah want from us at this critical juncture? If we look this way, it's problems on the ummah. If we look that way, it's orphans. If we look that way, it is widows. Would it justify you and I sitting at a stadium, watching some people playing a game of material pursuit and involving our time, our energy, our abilities? Then ask ourselves, what are our slogans? What are our contributions? What is our solidarity when this is our condition? The hadith I quoted in the beginning, I terminate my talk with this hadith, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-deenu an-nasiha." Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was asked, what is deen in a nutshell? So he says, deen in a nutshell is desiring good. What is deen in a nutshell? Someone asked you, in one word, tell me Islam. Tell him, by in one word, in the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam means desiring good. The next question of that sahabi was, liman? To whom, O Nabi of Allah? Qala lillahi, wa li kitabihi, wa li rasulihi, wa li a'immatil muslimina wa ammatihim. Desiring good for Allah, desiring good for his Nabi, desiring good for the Muslim leaders, and desiring good for the general masses. The hadith is detailed, what it means by desiring good for Allah, briefly to obey Allah, desiring good for Allah's Quran, to bring iman on the Quran, desiring good for Nabi alayhi salam, to emulate the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, desiring good for the Muslim leaders, to make dua that Allah guides them, Allah inspires them. Say ameen, brothers. Wallah, the world is thirsty for such rulers, the likes of Umar. May Allah once again revive the likes of Umar that can come forward. Look at how many people have gone as human shields. Analyze the marches, the anti-war marches, and see how many marches taking place in Muslim countries, how many taking place in non-Muslim countries. The world is desperate for some Muslim ruler. But as you and I draw closer and rapidly towards Qiyamah, we know that that man who the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam prophesizes is rapidly, the time is coming close. Brothers, after 9/11, things have been falling into perspective very quickly. Things are happening one after the other. Whatever it is, as Muslims we know, in a disguised way, inevitably good is going to come out of this year. We got to be optimistic about this. We got to be positive about this. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Allah says it is good for you. Just on one note, after the Afghan invasion, many lives were lost, and our hearts bleed for those who have died, while we know they enjoy the rank of martyrdom. But here in our country itself, it strengthened a bond between the Muslims. I can count hundreds of youngsters who I know have changed their life after they seen what happened in Afghanistan. I know of youth who never came to the masjid, came crying before me. Malana, if this is happening to our brothers, what is my contribution? So on a global level, Tawbah took place. The Ummah turned their focus to Allah. And if that alone happens, then great has been achieved. Great objectives have come out of this whole thing. So as Muslims, we analyze it. Whatever has happened, it will strengthen us. The Quran says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. It is the collective combined endeavors of the forces of kufr to extinguish the light of Islam. وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. But in the same breath, it is the pledge of Allah, it's the promise of Allah, it's the commitment of Allah to perfect His deen. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Even if the disbelievers dislike it. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He gives steadfastness to our brothers in Iraq. May Allah make it easy for them. May Allah aid them. May Allah send those birds that came down. Brothers, when this ummah will obey Allah, it was Sahaba were throwing sand also. Just as our brothers in Palestine are throwing. What did the Quran say? When Nabi alayhi salam lifted sand And he threw that sand and he said, Shahatil wujuh, may this kuffar be disgraced and may they disperse from here. The Quran said, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. O Nabi of Allah, it wasn't your hand, or rather it was your hand, but aided by Allah. So you were lifting the sand, but the strength was coming from Allah. Let that day come where the ummah lifts his hands and we see the strength of Allah. Let us not forget who Allah is. Our strength lies in Allah. Brothers, never mind the technology. Let's just rewind a bit back and look at the strength of Aad. What strength Allah had given Qawm Aad? They have nothing. The Quran says, وَمَا بَلَغُوا مِعْشَارَ مَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ. The kuffar of Makkah were boasting on what they had. Allah says, you don't own 1/10 of what the kuffar before you owned. So they say regarding Qawm Aad, the children used to mature at the age of 200. The lifespan was well over 1,000. The sizes were like tall palm trees. Allah says when he destroyed them, كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ. They were lying like date palm trees. So this is the strength of Allah when he came. سَخَرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَانِ. They are talking of one wind. Allah sent such a wind. 7 days, 8 nights. حُسُومَ. Allah says that was the end of that nation. Allah says we destroyed them. And wallah, the decline of this country has started. It started. May Allah let us witness its destruction just as today we see in the pride and the arrogance. Say Ameen, brothers. Wallah, the Quran says, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا. We destroyed them in such a way as though a nation of this name never existed. Brothers, in conclusion, what is our message? As I said, one is our moral obligation. It's time we give up our entertainment. It's time we give up our luxury. We can't carry on with life normally if there's a janazah lying in our house. When this is the plight of what is happening, my minimum appeal is let us give up entertainment. Let us give up pursuing our lust. Let us give in, you know, watching all other things. Let us focus on objective things at this time. I end with the ayat that I recited in the beginning. And let us be grateful to the favors of Allah upon us. Wallah, brothers, at this time, if we analyze the global situation in the world, Allah has been very kind to us in this country. We enjoy great virtues. We enjoy great advantages. In fact, you and I at many times have more liberty in obeying Allah than many Muslims in Muslim countries and different parts of the world. The ayat al-Karima that I recited, I likened it to a situation of the nation of Sabah. Allah speaks about this nation. لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٍ. Allah says, indeed, there were great signs of the mercy of Allah on the nation of Sabah when you looked at their dwellings. Their dwellings were palaces. Brothers, each man look at his own house and reflect how kind Allah has been. جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينِ وَالشِّمَالِ. There were gardens on the right, there were gardens on the left. Whenever they traveled, there was so much fruit. The Mufassirin write, if a man put a basket on his head, he would hardly take 10 steps and there was beautiful fruit. There was no insects, there was no theft, there was no harm, there was no fear. This is how they loved. Allah said, بَلْدَةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ. A splendid city and a forgiving Allah. A splendid city. Look at our situation, brothers. Allah has been so kind. But despite that, they violated the commandments of Allah. They disobeyed Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala sent His azab. So let us appreciate and capitalize the kindness of Allah upon us. Allah has made it so easy. May Allah Ta'ala reward our government and give them hidayat also. They have really been a government that has made things easier for us as far as Islam is concerned. They have never made things difficult for us. May Allah Ta'ala give them more hidayat and guide them. And may Allah give us the ability to value, appreciate, and present the beauty of Islam to them, so that inshallah at this age, when generally the focus is on tarnishing the reputation of the Muslims and blemishing the character of the Muslims and soiling the names of the ummah, you and I can prove them wrong by means of displaying the desired akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy and once again restore the honor, the victory and the dignity of the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.